It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after being baptized, an exorcism may be needed for one person. A family buys the home of a dead man, only to find he is still there. And did a spirit save a family's life in a car accident?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802. Call that number to share your real ghost story 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Write it on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. You've got all the bonus episodes. We've got brand new ones for you every single week and an archive of like 250 plus. And you get advanced episodes when you become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Supporter of our show. It's only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon. Patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. And I should remind you, we have a few tickets left for our live show, our first one that's coming up August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. It's going to be an awesome night. We're going to do an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live there, and then an episode of The Grave Talks. We're going to talk to Keith, who is their resident historian and ghost hunter, and we're going to learn all about the history of the Crescent, the ghostly happenings there, including what's happened in the last year or so with all of those bottles that they found out back of the original potion, or whatever you want to call it, that the original doctor was trying to cure the patients with when it was a medical spa many, many, many moons ago. I have not seen the Ghost Adventures on this yet. Have you watched that, Carol?
I have not.
Yeah, I guess it was the season premiere. I don't really ever watch Ghost Adventures, but I've heard from many listeners that it was really interesting. And Keith was in it as well, and they really go into detail about those bottles that they found out back behind the hotel. And I guess they kind of have a little museum type thing set up. I was at the Crescent in like February, I think, the last time. And I had not, this didn't even happen yet. So I'm excited to see all this stuff. I was just...
During the Real Ghost Stories Online portion of it, will you have actual people joining you on stage sharing their ghostly experiences?
Yes, they're going to physically walk up in their Nikes or Keds, that's the requirement, onto the riser on the stage. And then
they will have a chair?
And they will have a chair or a seating device. And...
Could be a stool.
And they will be verbalizing the experiences for which they once hath, and it will be a wonderful evening. And
these people who are invited
yes.
to walk up onto the stage in their shoes and sit on something, do they just raise their hand or are they pre-selected?
I'm going to do something before the event actually happens. I'm going to shoot out an email to everyone who has purchased tickets and say, hey, who would like to share their ghost story live? And then I'm going to kind of get a little list of some folks who want to go. And then beyond that, we'll do raise your hand, come on up, and you're the next contestant on The Dead Ghost Is Right, or whatever we want to call it. And
could you perhaps make a really great music bed so when they walk walk up to the stage, it's like da 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 da.
I think it'd be wonderful. Yes. It would be very
good
exciting.
Idea.
Yeah. So we'll do something like that. And so that's the plan anyway. So hopefully people are willing to share their ghost stories with us that night. If not, I think we'll have some backup stories to read if we need to. But I think it's going to be a really laid back, you know, fun, natural environment where I think we're going to very easily, you know, talk for a good hour about ghosts without without any sort of issue. I don't think we're going to sit there and be staring at each other going, you know, no. Any ghost stories?
I think you could actually get two episodes out of it.
But. Probably. We're going to be in the room for about 3 hours. So the plan is an episode of Real Ghost Stories for about an hour. Then we'll take a little break and kind of everybody can, you know, talk and we can do pictures and meet and greet and all that stuff. And then we'll sit back down. And then the second part will be the grave talks with Keith. And it'll be kind of the one-on-one conversation. And then and the last part of that, the audience can ask questions of Keith as well. So it should be.
I think it sounds like fun.
It should be.
And if I can do it, I really want to go. I just don't know if I can yet.
I hope you can. I know we got a little bit of time yet to figure it out. But if you can join us, that would be that'd be awesome. So,
yeah, it'd be so fun.
We'll have a good time. Let's jump over to our first ghost story of today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It says, hey, guys, I have multiple stories to share, but the story I'm about to share is the one that has genuinely kept me up at night for more than a few days. Let me start from the beginning. I converted to Christianity about 4 years ago. I always had the ability to sense how people felt and even what type of person they are deep down. I consider myself as sensitive since in my family, on my father's side, there's a history of witches that goes back very far in the family tree, and I've never been able to uncover more than what I've been told. Before I became a Christian, I used to practice palm readings for many people, and I also learned that I had the ability for reading tarot cards. I discovered this after I borrowed my writing instructor's deck and began to feel the cards. I no longer practice any of these because of my conversion, and I'm in conflict with following my faith and practicing the abilities I've been born with. Anyway, when I first converted, I already knew about angels, demons, religion, and all. This was back in 2013 or 2014. After being baptized and going to classes and meetings, I was given the opportunity to experience a cleansing or an exorcism towards a house. The owners were part of my study group. I got along with them, and even though they were much older than me, the owners had been experiencing odd occurrences. It first began with the oldest daughter becoming more impulsive and violent. The once sweet girl had developed a terrible attitude and was even heard sleep talking. The father works construction and often left home at 4 a.m. and returned late. For several nights, he noticed something or a being near his daughter's room. At first, it was the image of a girl in white, and eventually it would be a cat or a dog-like creature sitting before the door. When we were going to do the cleansing, my uncle, who used to go to these meetings, taught me a protecting prayer, and after that, we were in the backyard of the house. We talked for an hour about God and how they would go through the rituals and deal with the situation. We made sure the kids were away, and we began. The instructions were to close our eyes and pray while having our Bibles open to a specific verse. The other was to read loudly with authority. I was standing with the front door to my left side and the hallway to my right side, and next to that another person who was with their eyes closed. The leaders began to spray holy water and special oil we used during our events at church. We would go room to room while at some point I heard footsteps and began to run into the master bedroom where they had cornered something. It ran out of the room and was with us in the living room, and that's when I heard it, something big walking around people one at a time and growling like a cat does when it's pissed off. It got next to the person standing next to me, and cold air filled the room. At that moment, I just prayed louder, and it left him alone. It looked like he would faint at some point. It then began to prowl around me, and I could feel it moving and could sense that it was big could not see it, and I'm glad God only allowed me to hear the spirit. It then growled loudly, and the door next to me slammed open at the same time, slammed closed. After that, the room filled with light, and it was really warm inside. The dogs and family did not come into the room until we'd finished, and one of the dogs, that were not very friendly since it was brought into the house, approached me and let me pet him. I did not drive that day, but went into a state of shock. I arrived home and didn't mention anything to my parents because I was told not to mention any of this until I was told otherwise. I was told to keep my Bible open to Psalm 91 every night for 2 weeks after that incident. At the next meeting, we were told by the owners that in that house, a man had committed suicide. The man had hung himself in the basement of the house. I no longer keep my Bible open, and I had not done these cleansings since I didn't feel prepared enough to do it again. But my uncle, who was with me, said he saw something about me. A light, he said, so did other people. Even when I first attended church, I was told there was a light about me. Even my friends say this and could never explain it. Anyway, that's my story. I'll write back some other time about more, and I have more to share. Thank you. I love your podcast. I listen at work. Sometimes when I'm home, I also listen when I'm doing homework in college. Well, it sounds like quite the group, if you will, the meetup that goes and does exorcisms. It sounds a bit dangerous, to be quite honest. Thoughts?
No, I'm totally with you. I was listening to that saying there is no way. Like, no way. I would join a group, you know, maybe like a book club.
Yeah.
That we just read regular books. But there's no way. And I do have a lot of respect for people who would do that because you really are putting yourself in harm's way. And I would think you would be, you would know that you're doing that. Like, I don't know. It just seems to me like if you're going to do it, like it might have bad consequences for you.
Yeah. I get really apprehensive when I hear the stories about the self-appointed exorcists where, you know, it's like you may have good intentions and you may, you know, you're trying to do something to help people and you think you know what the cause is. But when you jump into that world of those sort of things, you know, it's not like, I saw this on TV or I read about this a little bit. Now I can handle something that extreme. And that's where, you know, it doesn't sound like they really walked away with a whole lot of resolution other than stirring things up, unless there's a part of that story that I'm missing.
And anytime people are like, and don't tell anybody about this, that's never good.
It's
not good.
Not usually a good thing. No. I mean, I again, it's like, hey, I understand you have good intentions, but just having, you know, heard these sort of stories for so long, there's only a certain group of people who really, I think, are qualified to do such a thing. And maybe there's more to this. Maybe the folks that she's with, you know, there's more to their story that was not alluded to.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
She didn't sound necessarily at that point where she had enough experience to be putting herself in that situation. That's what I think is super dangerous.
Exorcisms are not a spectator sport.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. I mean, if I were her, I would be a little leery of returning to those situations. I don't know that, you know, anything good is going to be coming of it.
And there's so many other things she could do with those gifts that she has.
Yeah.
I think she could help people and I think she could use that for good.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, you know, cleansing a house of demonic spirits is where I'd go.
I think that there needs to be a little more, I don't know, someone with a deeper understanding of what to do there needs to be involved to do it right for the safety of everybody involved. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to this next one. It says, this story involves all the family of mine over a number of decades. It started with me, Ian from Bedford, of three children living in a small terraced house in a small town called Bedford, Berkshire, with my parents. My first memory was before my sister was born. She's 7 years younger than me. It was about 5 years old at the time. My brother, about three, started in the early 1970s. I would go upstairs to play by myself, and the family was downstairs. A lot of strange things would happen. I'd feel a force trying to stop me from going down the stairs each night. A dark force always, third step from the top. I used to get really scared and go upstairs because of this thing. It seemed to come from the spare bedroom, which later became my sister's room. One night I went upstairs, and as I looked on the landing, there was a diamond-shaped image of a spirit, red, with big yellow eyes, with big black pupils. I swear it was a devil. Skip 5 years or so. One night, my father was out of town working. Just my mom and brother and sister and me. The phone rang in the other room. It was Dad on the phone saying hi. Everyone left the room to speak to my dad on the phone. I was last to leave. All of a sudden, what appeared to be a spirit of some sorts appeared out of one wall and walked straight through another wall. It was a soldier. I later found out from the English Civil War called a roundhead of the 18th century. I never told anyone who would believe me. Skip ahead 30 years, I'm visiting my mother who has cancer. I tell her what happened to me when I was a kid, expecting shock. I know, she said. I've seen it as well. So has your father, brother, and sister. I said, you've seen the roundhead soldier? No, she said, I've seen the old man. Apparently my parents in the 1960s bought this house where an old man had died. All my family has seen the old man, but not me. Maybe it was him who was scaring me as a kid. I'm not sure. To add further proof to this story, which I can support, my parents' next-door neighbor, an old Irish Catholic woman called Mars Green, has also seen the ghost. So has her granddaughter, who was so scared and refuses to go back. I've not seen or had any experiences since I was a kid. Two ghosts in one house. The spirit of an old man seemed to focus on my sister's bedroom. No one has seen it for a while, but my mother has seen it numerous times. I've tried to do research as to why different ghosts appear in the same house or venue from different time periods. So many different ideas, and hard to know which one is the real reason. I guess one day we'll all find out the truth of this haunted life. Thoughts?
I really kind of connected to that story a lot.
Yeah, how?
Yeah. You know, and to, like, I have thought over the years, like, do I go back out of curiosity and do some research on that house we lived in as a kid? And I'm like, I just feel like I'd be opening up a door I don't want to reopen.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a long time to get past that because I think a lot of people who live in a house like that, like, you have recurring dreams for years and years and years and years after you leave. And like, I just don't want to, like, go through all that again. I just don't. But then he was talking about, like, the stairs, and I was like, oh, God, I remember that. I'm still that way with stairs. Like, I can't, like, come up from the basement without a light on behind me. I can't. I don't care where I am. There has to be a light on. Mm-hmm. And I will leave the lights on forever, but... You know, it's, but when he talked about that thing on the landing, we had that in that house I lived in. And there was a landing and there was a thing on the landing. Like, I don't know. At first I was like, did he live in Nebraska?
And I grew up in a house in Nebraska. And that was the last part.
I was like, same what house. The hell? No, but I totally connected to that story. And then, like, the not everyone talking about it, like, the kids talked about it, but like the parents didn't. And I think that was primarily because they didn't want to scare us even more in some ways.
Sure.
But that's so interesting to me.
Are you afraid that if you were to dig into it of just what would go on with you mentally? Like just the paranoia, the thoughts, the dreams and all that just coming back. Not so much like a ghost actually coming back to you, but just what it would put you into.
I don't know, because I'm like, and I've had that conversation with my siblings. I'm like, if you went back, do you think it would like recognize you and like attach itself? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But Kat, my sister went back. There's no way I would go back. But I just think, too, like, I don't have the dreams like I used to have about the house. It used to be, like, horrific nightmares. I had for years, like, probably 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm finally to the point where I don't have that. And I would love to hear from other people, like, if they have that same issue. Just those dreams. And they're terrifying dreams.
Sure.
And I don't want, like, all that stuff to come back.
Sure, and that's understandable. I mean, just what it could just do mentally of dealing with that once you've kind of, you know, gotten yourself past it. I'm sure the curiosity is there, but just what it could do is not worth it to get those answers. So,
because it would, I think, be really interesting to sit down with a group of people, like if they came to the event in Eureka Springs, like it would be really interesting to sit with people who have had similar experiences.
Sure.
And see how it affected them long term, because it really does affect you long term, even if you only live someplace for, you know, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
It's something that sticks with you forever because it's that horrifying when you live there.
Well, it's like it's a form of PTSD is really what it is. You know, that
I never thought of it like that. But I think,
that's exactly. I mean, it's a trauma. It was a long, drawn out, you know, slow build trauma that you're dealing with. So, yeah, I mean, it would be very difficult to, you know, if you've gotten, you know, past having those dreams all the time. I don't blame you one bit. No, for not wanting to dig into that further.
That was a very interesting story to me. I so connected to that.
It was. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our next letter. It says, it was about 10 years ago. I was helping my older brother deliver newspapers deep in the countryside. I live in Kentucky, and the paper route was in Cynthiana, very rural. He'd been doing the route for about 5 years at this point, and I volunteered from time to time to help keep him awake and his kids entertained. It was about 4 in the morning. We were up wrapping, about to start heading back to Georgetown, where I lived. There was only a few houses left, and he always did them last because they were miles from anything else. Now, to understand this story, I need to tell you about the vehicle he was driving. It was an old model SUV that sat at least 6 feet off the ground, huge, bulky thing with 2 bucket seats in the front, 2 benches in the back. This night I was sitting in the middle bench, bagging and folding the newspapers. So we're heading down this road, pitch black, spooky, anyway, because of the locale. My brother and sister-in-law in the front bucket seats, 2 kids in the car seats behind me. All are bopping onto the radio, and the youngest one started screaming, "Bloody murder!" My brother flips on the dome light to see what's wrong. I turn and my nephew is pointing outside the vehicle. What we saw next, I cannot say with absolute certainty what it was, but I will never forget it. And it was there right outside the window. It was a huge figure. I mean massive, taller than the SUV, gray in color, covered in what could have been fur, running alongside us. The SUV had runner lights along the side, so it had a glow bouncing off of it, which I could draw a picture to explain better. The impossibility of what we were witnessing. Not only was this thing keeping up with us even after my brother pressed the gas pedal to the floor, but it was doing it at a steep embankment, straight up and down with no guardrail. We all saw this thing, all of us together, at the same time. We were screaming and unsure of what to do. It saved us for maybe a quarter of a mile down the road, then without breaking stride, it cut away down the embankment and into the tree line, never breaking stride. I never experienced anything like that in my life and hope I never do again. It was quite possibly the most terrified I've ever been. To this day, we don't know who or what it was or how it was able to run that fast and disappear so quickly. Now, things and stories like that, they can go a lot of ways. Sometimes you have the direction of, was that like a Bigfoot type creature? Was it a werewolf type creature? Or was it, I think sometimes they have these almost supernatural-esque powers of speed and can just appear and then kind of just disappear off into the side. That to me gets a little more into the ghostly area. What do you think?
All I know is I don't ever want to go there. Like, that was totally, I would have to, like, be in counseling for a really long time.
Yeah.
That would freak me out that bad.
I don't think I'd be able to do paper routes down that road ever again after experiencing that. That'd be, okay, sorry, I know I'm just not doing it. I can't
well,
do
as
it.
As you're telling the story, I'm like, props to that family for getting the kids up early and doing that paper route to make extra money. And then that... What the hell?
Now the kids just burst out into tears every time they see a newspaper box.
Just kidding.
Like, it's okay. No, nothing's going to chase us. It's just the USA Today, you know, but holy shit.
What the hell? That was Kentucky?
It was near Virginia is what I remember.
Virginia? Yeah. I don't ever want to go there.
Yeah. So.
Like, maybe I just fly into the airport and fly out, but I'm not hitting any rural areas.
No.
My God, That's horrible.
I have no idea what to make of that. I have no insight to give. I know they're probably looking for some, but we have had stories certainly of creatures in the woods that have kind of supernatural-esque powers, and I think that may be what you have been running into. Not necessarily truly like a wolf creature, but something that was there to instill fear.
You know, at least if you see, like, the old guy in the Civil War uniform or the woman who's in a nurse uniform or something, is like, aha, ghost. And like, okay, that would scare me, don't get me wrong, but I want to see something running along next to my car and keeping up with it.
At least you got you got some answers with the Civil War ghost. Like, it's a ghost.
Civil War.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell is that? You know,
and that lady was a nurse. Look at her outfit.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and somebody committed suicide in this house, and it just happened that he had been in the Civil War. So, I mean, sometimes you hear those stories that kind of make it make sense. Doesn't make it less terrifying. But, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
To see, like, a creature thing, I can't explain that.
That almost makes it worse. I remember one day I saw a creature. I was driving. It was in Wichita. I was driving to the radio station. I think it was after a remote or something late in the, it was like 8 or 9 at night. It was dark already. Might have been fall. And I was driving down. There's a kind of like a frontage road that gets you to the station there. And it's all kind of on its own, tree line. There's cornfields on one side and there's another road on the other, but the cornfields and tree line. And I had to slam on the brakes because there's something that jumped out in front of the vehicle. And I just saw the two big bright eyes at first. I'm like, what the hell? And it was a giant cat. And I think it was bigger than a bobcat. I think it was a mountain lion. And
they do have those in the area.
And it was freaking huge. And I remember that was like fairly early on when I was working there, too. And I think then for the next 10 years, I was a little bit scared to get out of the vehicles at night near the station alone in that parking lot. Because I'm like, what the hell is just lurking around in that field waiting for a snack? Because that was one of those cats that would eat you. It was big, like the type you'd see at the zoo and go, I'm glad you're behind the cage. But it was freaky. But
one time years ago, we were in Kansas someplace, I don't remember, and I was probably in my 20s, and it was late at night, like 2 a.m, we're on a highway, 2-lane highway, we're going to 60 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, it was two horses running the same direction we were driving as fast as they could run. Scared the crap out of me, because it's like, why? It's like, what the hell was that? Why are two horses just running down the road?
That is bizarre.
Isn't that weird? I've never seen anything like that. And I've done a lot of driving in these parts.
I wonder if maybe there was like a snowstorm or something somewhere. And, you know,
if somebody was calling wildfire.
You know, it might have been. It just might have been that. The horse was just trying to break down its stall, and it got out, and there was somebody not too far away calling wildfire. Maybe. I don't know.
I met Michael Martin Murphy.
Really?
You did? Yeah, we did a documentary about the song Home on the Range together.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
I played the part of a radio girl sitting there listening to him sing Home on the Range.
And did you sway at all? Were you like kind of getting into the song?
Well, the thing about being in the movies, Tony, is that there's a lot of takes.
Yeah.
And like I got there at 6 and I left at 11:30. And I think I was in this documentary thing for like, I think my part was maybe 20 seconds.
Was it worth?
I think I listened to him sing the song no less than 25 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to say like you met Michael Martin Murphy's ghost or something.
No, it was really him. Yeah.
Well, that's a special moment right there. I'm just trying to fill time talking because I really want to hit the post of the hook of the song.
Wildfire.
Because it really just... Here we go.
She ran calling wildfire.
There you go. I'm glad.
I wasn't expecting that little walk down memory lane.
Whenever that song comes up on Yacht Rock Radio on Sirius XM, because that's all we listen to all summer, when it's playing in the car, Harper just like, it's wildfire. And then she sings it because she loves talking about horses.
Aww.
It's fun. The other day we were at, this is so my daughter, who is six. We were at Kohl's the other day walking around and there was some song playing. It was a remake of a Michael McDonald song. And I don't know who did it, but it was a modern take on it. And Harper looks at me. She goes, that's a Michael McDonald song. I said, yeah, you're right. It is. She's like, this look of just frustration and anger. And she goes, no one should be redoing a Michael McDonald song. Michael McDonald songs are classics, and you do not touch them. She was like angry and upset that somebody even attempted to redo a Michael McDonald song.
That's hysterical.
And I'm just like, yep, you are 100% my daughter. So it was great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Kay. I've called him before, but this story is kind of freaky. It just happened last night, and I'm like really still kind of freaked out about it. So I just wanted to call you guys and tell you what it was. So I work night shift at a fast food restaurant, and I was closing the store, and I work with a bunch of teenagers. I mean, it's a fast food restaurant. I don't really mind doing that. It's not a huge deal to me. And I make some pretty good friends with them. It's fine. Anyway, so on to the story, now that we have the context. So we started getting on the topic of the paranormal. One of the kids that was closing that night, her mom is a medium, and she was telling us a little bit about that. And she might also be, I don't know, but she doesn't know either. And she was telling us about some of her stories that she had. And we were kind of freaked out a little bit already just by her talking about that and how she'd had a few of her experiences like at work, which kind of freaked us out. And I was washing dishes with this girl, and she told me about this time that she was using a Ouija board. Like, what the heck? Because, you know, we all know Ouija boards are not so great. Anyway, so she said she knew that Ouija boards could be dangerous, and she had, like, told her friends, you know, like, we need to take this seriously. Like, we can't screw around with this. Like, if we're going to do this, like, we need to take it seriously. Anyway, I won't go into the details of, like, what they found happened with the Ouija board, because those are kind of, like, that's kind of, like, her business or whatever. Anyway, so she starts telling me about her Ouija board story, and how the board just knew things that it shouldn't have known, and, like, all her friends were, like, dead on their life swearing that they weren't moving it, and they were all super freaked out. So she believed them, and she talked about how they talked to several different spirits, and it was, like, ended up telling them things about their futures that it really couldn't have known. It was super weird. And she said a bunch of the spirits tried to get out of the board doing, like, a figure eight thing where like, it tries to get out of the board or whatnot. Anyway, so she starts telling us about this. So starts telling me about this, and she starts telling me the names of some of the spirits. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you didn't say any of those names, like, out loud. And she was like, yeah, we probably did. And she said just some regular names. Sounded like just names that probably the spirit just kind of made up. I don't know. Just like Q, D, or like, you know, things like that, like random stuff. Yeah. And then, sorry, I have my niece with me. Then she said that one of the spirits spelled out, they asked him what his name was, and he spelled out ha ha. And the second she said that, okay, so at the fast food place we have fryers, right? And when we wash the fryers, we stack them up on the edge of the sink. And as soon as she said, the spirit says his name was ha ha, all of the fryers fell over. Like, nobody touched them. I know how to set up the fryers. Like, I'm not, they just completely fell over. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, it completely fell over. Like, we went over and we checked and made sure that nothing was hitting it. And then our coworker, who was cleaning up in the grill area, ran in and said, hey, what's going on? And we were like, oh, no, it just, the fryers must have fallen over. And he was like, well, one of you said my name. And we were like, no, neither of us said your name. And he was like, no, I promise you. And he pointed at me and he said, you said my name. I heard you say my name. And I said, no, I did not say your name. I promise you, I didn't say your name. He said, I don't know, but I swear you said my name. And I was like, okay. And she and I, the girl I was doing dishes with, and I were just trying to rationalize it. Just like, oh, like he probably just thought he heard it, like over the clatter of the fryers and all that. And so we put the fryers back up and we started washing dishes again. And she was like, you know, that was super weird. Like, as soon as I said that name, that it did that. And she's like, you know, that's why I don't screw around with Ouija boards anymore. And as soon as she said Ouija board, they fell again. All the fryers fell down again after we had just restacked them. And I know we did not stack them properly. Like, I'm well aware. There was nothing over there. No, like, they all fell down at once. That was terrifying. So she was really trying to, like, rationalize it and, like, just say, well, we just probably stacked them up wrong. And, like, I don't know, like, maybe this, maybe that. And, like, she was, like, but I could tell that she was really freaked out. And the girl that had been talking to us earlier that said her mom was a medium, she came in and was like, yeah, you probably were just talking about it. And it just, you know, wanted to let you know that its presence was around. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I was pretty freaked out by that. That was my first, like, really freaky experience. Like, I know that those I'm just telling you right now, those fryers fell over by themselves. Like, they were not stacked wrong. There's no, like, other explanation. They fell over by themselves. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, this is so weird. And that thing about the coworker hearing his name, I don't even know. Anyway, you guys can decide what you want to decide about it. I just want to tell you the story because it was freaky. But thanks, guys. Love the show. Bye.
It sounds like a very freaky experience. I've always joked about our places like KFC and such, extremely haunted by the ghost of chickens. But you have to wonder sometimes, you know, not necessarily the ghost of chickens, but there, you know, gosh, you know, you have some of that stuff going on in your workplace. That's, you know, that's not fun.
Well, and then when I'm listening to it and she starts saying about the name.
About the name?
Yeah. Damn. Because I have this thing, like, from when I was a little kid, like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. And then when she said, ha ha, and I'm like, okay, I can handle that. But still, even though it was like, oh, and the name was ha ha, boom, then the stuff falls over. That's kind of weird. Like, that would freak me out.
Then
you restack, and it happens again.
They let something out of that board, and it's now at the restaurant.
And I said, damn Ouija boards, what's up with people?
It's So you can't.
What is up?
That'd be great if I think that'd be a fun placemat. You know, you go to like a fast food restaurant and they put the little paper placemat on your tray. Or I mean, they used to. I don't know if they still do that anymore. But instead of like whatever specials or what promotions, it's just a Ouija board, a little paper Ouija board. And then you get like a French fry planchette, and then you can you can call it like a fried chet or something. And
that's how you place your order. It's like, what do I want?
Yes.
Hamburger with pickles. Like, that's a thing, though. When people talk about like the like that whole Ouija board story that sounds like it went on and on and on.
Yeah.
Like, you got to keep track. Yeah. Like, ham. Oh, I want ham. Oh, no, we're going to the B.
Yep.
Now what are we having? You know, it's like one letter at a time. So.
A restaurant where there are no menus, there's just a Ouija board in the middle, and you have to order by whatever the Ouija tells you should eat.
Oh, my God. I'll just eat the planchette.
There's a concept.
Since I didn't even know that had a name.
There's a concept restaurant for you. They just kind of be a great one. There's one in Chicago, not a Ouija board restaurant, but there's a restaurant apparently in Chicago. I don't know if it's still around or if it was just kind of one of those concept restaurants that are around for a couple of weeks, where you eat in complete darkness and you can't see anything, but they literally, I don't know if like the people who serve you come in with like night vision or something so they can see, but they give you the food and then you consume it in complete darkness.
I would hate that.
I don't know how that would be that enjoyable. And then I guess it's like, you know, it's like gourmet food, but how the hell do you know? They could just be slicing up lean cuisines and telling you it's like,
exactly.
It's amazing. There was a, I don't know what the hell it was. It was, I don't know if it was Penn and Teller's bullshit show or if it was, the Jamie something experiment. This is like early
2000s.
It was like a prank show, but it was something like that where they did just that. They set up a fake high-end restaurant on a place where there was high traffic, so they were sure to get foot traffic in there. People went in thinking, oh, we're going to have this really nice, you know, super fancy meal. And they literally took fast food items and microwave dinners and had a chef come in that knew how to plate things and then replated them in a very fancy way. And then presented them and just kind of, you know, made it sound fancier than it was. And everyone was just like, oh my gosh, these raviolis, you can tell they're freshly made. And it was lean cuisine. it's all about how you present it and what you think you're getting. We were talking about that at lunch.
You're going to spend $100, yeah. So it must be really good.
It must be. You know, it must be. We're talking about that at lunch today because it's an interesting thing where when you can't see your food, it's not super easy to identify what it is. And this is an idea Harper had. She's like, I've come up with a way to make peaches taste like something else. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking she's like, going to tell me she puts like extra sugar or something on it. She's like, what I do is I take a peach. And sometimes if I want it to kind of taste a little different, I may take some of your spices and sprinkle it on there and then shut my eyes and think of the other food and then it'll taste like that. And it's kind of true. If you don't, I mean, sight is a component of what you taste. Your brain, if you pick up a cherry and say, see, this is a cherry I'm going to eat, you're going to think it'll somewhat taste like cherry. If your eyes are completely closed and you get a grape and you think it and someone tells you this is a cherry, you may be still saying it's a cherry. It's amazing what kind of influence that has on you.
They do that on Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay every season.
Do they?
They sure do.
Oh, no, you're talking MasterChef they do, don't they? Kitchen Nightmares is where they go fix the restaurants.
No, it's Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, yeah, that
Hell's
one.
Hell's Kitchen, that's the one they do it on. And, yeah, like they'll be, what is this? It's a Rice Krispie treat.
Yeah.
And they go, peaches? I mean, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get that.
It's amazing what that does. Just it's kind of a lesson in suggestion, which can be applied to ghosts too sometimes too. If someone says a place is haunted, are you going to feel something? Are you not going to feel something? That's why it's always interesting when you get ghost stories where someone's like, I had no idea this place was haunted till after I had an experience. It kind of clears the palate a little bit before jumping into it. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you to be an EPP. Tickets on sale. Still a couple left for our show at the Crescent, August 11th in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Details, realghoststoriesonline.com.